Thank you and welcome in to the Bonesville pregame podcast. Al Myatt joined by Kevin Monroe. Kevin, of course, great defensive back in his playing days at East Carolina. And you can hear him on the East Carolina Radio Network providing his insights as the Pirates take on Campbell. The Camels coming to Dowdy-Ficklin Stadium Saturday for a 6 p.m. kickoff. Kevin, East Carolina coming off a 39-21 win over Old Dominion. And the Pirates really revved up the running game in the second half against the Monarchs. Kevin Mitchell leading the way, Keaton Mitchell rather, leading the way and providing a lot of excitement over a quality opponent. ODU had beaten Virginia Tech the previous week, but East Carolina played a much better second half last week.
Now, I think that's a great point you make. I think the biggest tell of a quality coordinator is whether they can go in at halftime and make adjustments, because you prepare all week for what you think a team's going to do, and a lot of times they do those things, and sometimes they change things up and you don't have it on film and you're not prepared for it, and you come out and you can't, you know, all of a sudden you can't run the football, which is where East Carolina found themselves in the first half, found themselves on four quarters 2 weeks ago against NC State, but then the first half of this ODU game against a team they felt like they should be able to run against. And they had to make some adjustments. So Donnie Kirkpatrick and his offensive line coaches and wide receiver coaches kind of got together and said, hey, we've got to change these few things. And they came back out in the second half, and it was a much different rushing attack for East Carolina. I was very impressed with that adjustment. Also, defensively, Blake Carroll's team looked much more poised, much more composed. They were able to get pressure on the quarterback in the second half. Still couldn't slow down Allie Jennings, who had a big day at wide receiver for ODU. I mean, he's a talented kid, had 196 yards and a few touchdowns. But everybody else, they shut down and were able to come out with a much better play second half than the first.
And then, of course, the running game, that takes some pressure off of Holton Ahlers. I mean, if you can run the ball effectively and then the defense makes adjustments to the run, then that opens things up for the passing game.
Oh, there's no question. And, you know, it looked like Holton was more confident and collected in the second half, was able to use the play-action pass because the run game was working, was able to find both Johnson and Winstead quite a few times, got the tight ends involved downfield in that passing game. And so, yeah, there's no doubt. They kind of worked, you know, together in that the run opens the pass opens the run. So when they're both working, your offense is going to be running on all cylinders.
Kevin, of course, areas for improvement. You don't have to look too far when you consider that the Pirates had two conversion kicks blocked, and that's three missed extra points in two games, which is normally routine, the point after touchdown. It's been a very adventurous situation for the Pirates thus far this year.
Yeah, that's not something you want to have to worry about as a coach. You know, if you miss some field goals or get a field goal block every now and then, a longer one, then that maybe is to be expected. But certainly extra points are gimmies. And you know, I heard a fan say on a call-in show, I'm tired of having to worry about extra points. Those should be, you know, you score a touchdown, you're down 7-0, you should be expected to be 7-7. And so they've had some issues. Week one was a little bit different. You know, I think there was Owen Daffer may have just hooked his first extra point and just missed it, hit it pretty good, but just hooked it. And then here in week two, he had two of them blocked, and they were blocked before he could even really get them off the ground good. And Coach Houston said in his postgame press conference that it was just one player that missed his block twice, and they've gotten that situation rectified. So I don't think we'll see that happen here in week three against Campbell, but certainly a lot of eyes will be on it.
Well, Kevin, looking at Campbell, they're coached by Mike Minter, and of course he was a outstanding safety for the Carolina Panthers, All-American out of Nebraska. He has taken the program in Buies Creek from a non-scholarship program to FCS, which has 63 scholarships, I believe. And so that program has been on the move, on an upward trend during his leadership. The Camels reinstated football, I think, in 2008. And at that time, Dale Steele was a coach, and Dale retired from football as an administrator in the football program at East Carolina. He had been at James Madison with Coach Mike Houston, and now Coach Steele is living in the Myrtle Beach area and helping some with the West Brunswick football program. But Mike Minner and the Camels will certainly come in with nothing to lose, everything to gain, and they will have substantial motivation as they take on the Pirates on Saturday night.
Yeah, Mike Minter has done wonders with this program. As you mentioned, Dale Steele opened it up, but essentially he's still starting it from scratch, trying to grow a program. And he had the number one recruiting class in FCS this past season. He's doing all the right things. Just a great recruiter, a great X's and O guy. I have a history with Mike Minter, actually. As I left East Carolina, I wasn't drafted in the NFL, but I did I did have a sign as a free agent with the Carolina Panthers, and Mike Minter at the time was a starting safety for the Carolina Panthers, and he treated me like I was a first-round draft pick, just the nicest guy, always willing to help, always willing to answer questions, stay late after practice. I just remember, those great things about him, and he wasn't a big guy. I mean, he was probably 5'10", 5'11", 200 pounds, but he would just hit, and he just had this mentality about him that he didn't care who you were, that he would knock you in the dirt. And so I know that mentality has transferred over to his teams, the way he coaches. They're very, very intense. But also the X's and O's that I talked about, the way he was able to teach me and teach other young guys, he's now turned that into teaching players as a coach. So well-coached Campbell team by just a great, great guy.
And, I think Mike Minter might be flying a little bit under the radar as far as that coach's opening at Nebraska, his alma mater, but certainly a win at East Carolina on Saturday night would enhance his status as a potential candidate for that Nebraska head coaching position. I know that there, Mike has a great allegiance to Nebraska, and that would certainly be a situation that he would be interested in should that arise. But Pirates have got to be ready to play, Kevin, and you can't sleep on an FCS team. And Mike Houston came to Greenville before he was the head coach at East Carolina with James Madison, and showed that an FCS team is certainly capable of pulling an upset.
Yeah, I mean, over the years, from James Madison to Old Dominion and North Carolina A&T, the Pirates have played several FCS opponents and gotten good ball games out of them. App State before they moved up. And so you can never underestimate these teams. They're going to come in hungry. They're going to come in wanting to get a victory over you. Call it what you want. Say it's their Super Bowl. They just know they're going to play an FBS opponent. And these guys maybe weren't recruited by a lot of FBS teams and want to show what they can do. And so the players get amped up. The coaches get amped up. And they always play hard. And scheme was what really matters. When you are not when you don't have the depth maybe or some of the talent at certain positions that the FBS opponent has, but you have a good scheme and you do what you do well, which is what Coach Houston showed with his James Madison team, you can win. And everyone remembers App State going down to Michigan, several years ago and winning that game. They did it again here recently going to A&M. Now they're obviously an FBS caliber team, so it's a lot more equal in terms of their players. But the point is, you have a good scheme, and players that play hard, you can win games like this.
Well, the Pirates certainly dodged the Sun Belt bullet last week that got Texas A&M with Appalachian State going to College Station and winning, and then Marshall went to Notre Dame and won, and Georgia Southern a winner at Nebraska, and that precipitated the coaching vacancy for the Cornhuskers. But the Pirates were able to get that running game going in the second half last week. Different challenge this week, especially defensively, Kevin, and ECU has yet to see a run-throw quarterback this season, but Hodge Malik Williams, quarterback for Campbell, he will definitely present a challenge.
Yeah, these quarterbacks that are mobile, this is not a new thing. This goes way back. We talk about just the quarterbacks of my generations, the Warren Moons, the Randall Cunninghams, the Donovan McNabbs, the Steve Youngs, all those guys could do it. Then Mike Vick kind of changed the game, being, not just a mobile quarterback, but maybe one of the fastest guys on the field that could just run past defensive back. It just changed everything. And so as a coach, as a defensive coordinator, it's one thing to prepare for the run, another thing to prepare for the pass, and even prepare for both, but not both on the same play. You know, when you are assuming it's a pass, you have a pass rush coming, you have defensive backs and linebackers in pass coverage, and all of a sudden the quarterback takes off, it just changes the whole dynamic. And he may be 5-10 yards downfield before anybody even knows he's running the football. So it makes things so much harder to prepare for. And Hodge Malik Willis is the second leading rusher on this team. He's got the ability with his legs to beat you, but he can also throw the football. And so preparing for him will be tough, and it definitely gives Campbell that little bit of an edge when it comes to surprises, because if, you know, he scrambles and gets away from you, he can do damage.
Well, that will certainly be a factor on Saturday, East Carolina hosting Campbell. And Kevin, you want to make the improvements and continue to improve throughout the season. I think it's important for the Pirates to put forth a better effort this week, because next week you get into American Athletic Conference play at home against Navy, and execution is always vital against the midshipmen.
Oh, there's no doubt. And this is maybe a different midshipman team than we've seen in past years. They're not quite doing quite as well under Ken Niumatalolo, but we know that they have a great scheme. We know that they have great talent and players that will fight to the bitter end in the service academy. So we expect nothing less than that. And it took a field goal at the last second to beat them last year by Owen Daffer. Certainly that's a week away, but you got to start thinking about that now. And I'm sure the coaches are going to use any extra practice time to work on that triple option to get prepared for it as well.
Well, last week, the Pirates kind of adhered to Kevin's keys to the game. No turnovers against ODU. Three straight halves now with no turnovers. And talk about that factor as far as being a determining situation in that win over the Monarchs.
Yeah, we had some missteps. East Carolina had some missteps in the first half of the NC State game and had some interceptions. And, they learned from that. And you realize that you end up losing a game right there at the end, and had you not turned the football over, you probably could have won that game. And so they heeded that in the ODU game. They played really, really well, turnover free, were able to get a couple, and that's how you win. That's how you win football games, is winning the turnover battle. That's where it starts. And so having Holt Naylor take care of the football, having the running backs take care of the football, and the defense go after it, go get the ball, is what every coach preaches, and that's how you win football games.
Well, Kevin, let's talk about that Bonesville tradition. Kevin's keys to the game.
Yeah, I think it starts with the young man we were just speaking about. That's Hodge Malik Willis, Williams, rather. And he's the quarterback of Campbell, and he's the guy that you've got to key in on offensively. So up front, you've got to get pressure up at him. You rush him outside in. You keep him in contain. You make him, if he's going to escape up the middle of the field where you got some help. But you make him throw the football to beat you. You don't want him just running around back there. So that's the first thing you have to do defensively. Offensively, you got to establish that running game early. They were unable to run it at all against NC State. They were unable to run it for two quarters against Old Dominion. They broke out in the second half and had a really good half. And in stats-wise, it looks like they run okay, because Holt Naylor's had a decent running game against NC State. And, you know, they had Keaton Mitchell had a 28-yard run. And so they were able to get over 100 yards rushing. And then last week against Old Dominion, in the second half, you got the 81-yarder by Keaton Mitchell, and, you know, Raji ends up with 60-plus yards. So they're able to put up some decent stats, but they have not run the ball well for four quarters yet. That's what they're going to have to do against Campbell, just to kind of impose their will on them and wear down that defensive front for Campbell. And then in the special teams game, we just talked about the woes they've had there. You certainly can't get any kicks blocked. You can't get anything returned. Because the way an FCS opponent, the way any opponent beats you, is if you turn the football over, but also you lose the kicking game. That's a big part of the game. You have to be stout in the kick game and kick return game. And so the Pirates need to be much better than they've been so far this season.
Very good, Kevin. We'll certainly look forward to seeing East Carolina week 3 of the 2022 season. As always, enjoy talking with you on the Bonesville pregame podcast, and looking forward to doing it next week.
Appreciate it, Al.